First Thessalonians, I want to deal today with something that I truly love. And Paul talks about it. It's called faith. None of you could get born again. None of you have any proof whatsoever at all that when you die, you're going to heaven. You said it and received it by faith to such a degree that people couldn't talk you out of it if they tried. And yet physically and academically, theologically, you have no proof to the fact that that's true, but you know it is. Because it goes beyond your academics, beyond your thinking. Paul the apostle had churches under his ministry. You could call them satellites if you want. And where he would go, he would establish and minister. And the word of God was so great in this man's life. I call him the greatest intellectual mind ever drawn through the rim of Christianity. And it's such a blessing of the Lord. And can I say something about sounding prideful or arrogant? Everywhere I go, people love me. If you find somebody that doesn't like me, they've listened to a lie. Because I'm a nice person. I'm not perfect, by no means, but I do love people. And my slogan is reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. And if I've offended anybody, I publicly apologize. I don't lie, I don't do those things, because the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. And I'm very careful of my image. And I'm not talking so people can know who I am. I'm talking about the image, the Christ that's in me. Now, I'll show you what people see in me. People say, there's just something about it. If you could spend a day in our offices, in the prayer department, you could talk to Terry Woodard. I don't know how many times Terry said, you know, Jess, you don't realize how many people love you. They're just calling it just constantly. Well, let me tell you what I do. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it's verse 8. I'm going to go to 3 in just a minute. This is, I learned this from the Apostle Paul the day I went into the ministry. So being effectually desirous of you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. So I don't come just to preach the gospel to try to impress you with what I know scripturally, but I want to impart to you my own soul. My own mind, my own will, my own emotion. Because I'm truly excited about being saved. I'm truly excited about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, this is not a religion. See, I mean, this is a way of life. It's beyond religion. You see, it's knowing God instead of knowing about God. Now, the church at Thessalonica was new. And what happened was when you start getting blessed, people get mad at you. And Paul had this problem. Every time his church would start to grow, somebody get mad and try to hurt it, especially the Jews. And they'd get so angry because they were worried that he's trying to take something from them when he's trying to give something to them. So he only spent a few weeks in Thessalonica, but he imparted such a greatness there. People just loved the Lord. And they really understood Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But you got to remember, everybody starts in baby stages. You have to grow. Babies are the most prettiest things you've ever seen in your life. But you don't want them to stay babies. You want them to grow. Why? Because they can talk to you. And all of a sudden, you begin to converse with a child. And they tell you what they think and give you their opinion at a very young age. And it's amazing to see development. And then the day comes, if you have a daughter or a son, and they walk down a center aisle like this church, and here you are, you're giving your daughter away. But you don't ever really give them away because they all come back. You know that's true, praise the Lord. It's such a blessing. You want them to come back. And you want them to come back with grandbabies. It's just such a blessing of the Lord. And it's just a wonderful thing to do that. So then they become what I call a full-grown adult. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And when you see families that truly love each other, it's an amazing thing. It's truly amazing. I love to watch families love on each other. It's just such a blessing because it causes me to grow. That's why I love it in church. I don't like people angry. I don't like people. I'm going to say this and I mean it. Jesse Prince personally does not have church problems. I don't know. Why? Because I consider you my family. I mean, it don't make no difference if you might be mean as a snake, but you're still my family. That don't mean I have to be a snake. You understand what I'm saying? Because when push comes to shove, blood is blood. I promise you right now, we got churches that wouldn't grace the door of this church at all. Oh, when I hit man, believe in prosperity, believe in it. But I promise you, if persecution hit Christianity, we're all coming together. Oh, yeah. If a church in New Orleans would come together and say, a fight you gonna get. We may be different in doctrinal issues, but brother, when it's all said and done, and that's what persecution did, it literally drove the church together. You think about that. That's just truly amazing. You know, you don't have to believe everything that someone else believes in it, but you have to believe the central thing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and you accept him as Lord and Savior. I want to talk this morning, title of this message, you can write it down. Cracks will always produce leaks. Cracks will always produce leaks. Now, let me explain that for a minute. One thing I'm very concerned about is my level of faith, my strength of faith, and having the faith of God. I don't want to just stop with the faith of Jesse. I don't want to just stop with human faith. I want to grow. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you don't need to go there, let me just quote it. It says, now faith is. So the reason why I believe the way I believe, I never push it into the future. Why would you want to push something in the future that you want now? But yet, the Christianity does that constantly. They want something now, and they use this statement, when the Lord get ready. And the Lord's been ready so long ago. My Lord. In fact, I mean, my Lord, you're burning daylight. So I never push my faith into the future. When God, I said, no, that's why you hear me say, I got it. Yeah, but it's not manifest. Don't make a difference. I got it. My faith got it. Now, when it becomes a physical, it's no longer faith. It's a manifestation. Well, Paul was very concerned about the church of Thessalonica. They were doing some wonderful things, but there was some lacking in their faith. And I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. But let me read verse 8 first. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. And might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That which is lacking in your faith. All of us have some lack somewhere that we can grow. And you'll know it where the leaks come out. Cracks will always produce leaks. So I want you to write this down, then I'm going to kind of preach on these things. Number one, faith may be defective in various ways. Now we have to define those ways in just a minute. Faith may be defective in various ways, because you'd be surprised what kind of faith did you get. Did you get the faith of experience? Did you get the faith of someone else and all of a sudden it doesn't work because it's not yours? You see what I'm saying? Faith may be defective in various ways. Why? Number one, in its quality. What is the quality of your faith? And I'm going to deal with that. Number two, it may be mingled with unbelief or doubt. Your faith may be defective because it's mingled with unbelief or doubt. And number three, you may only partially believe. And then I'm going to give you the answer to this in just a minute. So let me say this again. Faith may be defective in various ways, in its quality. What does that mean? In other words, you have faith to do what you can do, but you don't have faith to do what God called you to do. See, that's why a lot of people walk away from faith, walk away from Jesus, because they say that stuff doesn't work. So they start doing what they can do instead of doing what God called them to do. That's why sometimes I think people misunderstand me. I may sound arrogant and cocky. I am not an arrogant man. God is my witness. But you see, I refuse to do what I can do because it's so pitiful. It's so petty. But I can do what I'm called to do. Now, that's the God kind of faith. You see what I'm saying? It may defect in its quality. Some people have surface faith. What do you mean by surface faith? Well, what happens is they go to a church, faith cometh. It don't stack up. It cometh by here. You get all excited. Oh, glory to God. And you receive some surface, and then you try to put some foundation on it, and it cracks. Well, it needs to grow. It needs to flow. It needs to mature itself. So where is your quality at? Because cracks always produces leaks. And before you know it, you start leaking. And, you know, anything leaking causes a mess. I've seen some very messed up people. They is leaking. That's all I'm going to say about that. In its quality. So I'm constantly observing the quality of faith that the Lord has given. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Not hearing and hearing by what somebody says. I'm not trying to understand faith by someone's book concerning it. Even though I may use that book as a help. You follow what I'm saying? Because I realize this, that if you want something done in life, originality is where it's at. So faith may be defective in various ways. Number one, in its quality. Number two, it may be mingled with unbelief or doubt. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is what that means. Watch how your faith is mingled with unbelief and doubt. Don't even really realize it. Just talk about it. You say, well, I know the Lord said that, but I tried that and it didn't work. Now, you see, your faith is working, but it's mingled with a little unbelief and a little doubt. And as I've said so many times before, if you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubt anymore because your doubts have been doubted. Because you've learned to doubt your doubts. Many of you have heard me say that. I refuse to doubt. I will not speak doubt into you. When we were building our house, Richie Pichon is the contractor on it. I realized that sometimes Richie did some things by faith. I didn't know that till the end result, because he ain't never done that before. Him and Tommy Board would get together. They said stuff that to me, it was speaking in tongues to me. I smiled like I knew what I was talking about. I understood it. I didn't understand a thing they said. They sat there and began to figure things out. They'd draw stuff on the concrete. They'd do this and that. And they'd say this and that. No, we got to move this and got to move that. And all kinds of stuff. And I would say, yeah. It looks so simple, but it took grace to do it. And I said, Richie, y'all ever done it? No, we ain't ever done that before. Oh, Jesus. Now, if they'd have told me this before, we don't know how to do this, I'd say, let's get somebody who does. But you see, they walked by faith and not by sight. You follow my point? So your faith may be mingled with a little unbelief or doubt. And it's always carried by words. We are a word-orientated universe. Everything is done and said by words. That's why words can hurt you. They can hurt you worse than a physical stick. They can wound you for life because we are people of words, and God said, and we're imitators of God. So it may be mingled with unbelief or doubt. And you can tell that because see, in your surface faith and in your study, what did Jesus say? Study to show thyself approved, thyself approved, thyself. In other words, you're teaching yourself. You're not trying to understand God here. You're trying to understand yourself. Approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which means if you don't study, is it possible you can wrongly divide the word of truth? Now, let me do a little teaching first. I'll get to preaching in a minute here, but I want you to understand that. See, because this faith is defective. See, cracks will always produce leaks. So in its quality, it may be mingled with unbelief or doubt. Now, watch this. It may only partially be believed. Do you know how much... I would say at all the churches that I have in service today, I doubt that if 95% believe the whole Bible. Think about it for a minute. Well, that's what's said for those times. A healing's not for today. Then why are there sick people? Prosperity is a seducing doctrine. Then why are you broke? I know Jesus was born of a virgin, but it's hard to believe. Oh, you're struggling in there. Partially believe some things. I think I'm saved. I don't know unless I feel it. Feeling ain't got a thing to do with it. I've had Kathy mad as a hornet at me. Yet she still loved me. I couldn't figure out why she was mad at me. I know me. Why would she ever be mad at me? I'm the one that provided the ice cream. I'm the one that provided the theater. Woman ought to be kissing my feet. I can't get an amen out of this woman this morning at all. No. But I know it has nothing to do with her love for me. There's some people that don't like me, but they love me. That's why I don't get offended. They can say ugly things about me. But they actually, if they're a Christian, call it, they gotta love me or they can't go to heaven. We gotta love everybody. You just got to. They ain't no other choice. Why? Why? Because love never faileth. So it may be, your faith may be partially believed. There's some things in the scripture very hard. Tithing has been one of the biggest struggles in the Christian faith. And why? Why would it be such a struggle? I'll tell you why. Because you see, it protects you and rebukes the devourer for your sake, and you live under an open-winded heaven. You learn to, as I said in my first service, I did my first, it helps you bypass depression and recession. And yet, the church world, a lot of people just think, they just saying that to get money. No, we ain't saying that to get money. We're saying it because the Word of God said it. Do you see that? So it may be partial to believe. Now, how do I fix that? Here's an answer. Write it down. Our prayer should be, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. And that's Mark chapter 9, verse 24. People are very afraid to tell God they don't believe it. You hear what I'm saying? They're very afraid to say, Lord, help my unbelief. They feel inadequate. How many times I've stood praying for people, Nicole, and I said, you believe this? Yeah, they're lying like a dog. Because they're embarrassed to say, well, why don't you just tell the truth? That's what that man did. Jesus said, will you be made whole when you receive? He said, Lord, I'm going to paraphrase it. I can't handle this. I'm not there. Help my unbelief. I have said that many times. I've had some people say, I want you to come to my church. I'm not coming. Oh, they think I'm being rude. No, the Lord, brother, told me not to. He didn't tell me to go. What do you want me to do? This is his ministry. I'm just working for it. Do you understand that? Now, the Lord, tell me I will be there tomorrow, tonight. You see what I'm saying? But without sounding prideful, I know why a lot of people write me and ask me to come, because I pull a crowd. People like crowds. Here's the difference between me and most ministers. I ain't crazy about numbers. Because there's a book in the Bible called Numbers. And they got in trouble numbering. I'm not interested in the biggest church in the city of New Orleans or surrounding area. I am interested in the strongest church. That if a Katrina comes, destroys everything, we'll build it again. Amen. You're like an Isaac. You want to plug up my well? I'll dig another one. Plug that one up. I'll dig another one. Plug that up. I'll dig another one. Plug that up. They couldn't plug the last one. Why? Because he hit a river. And you want me to paraphrase? Then he starts selling water to his enemies. Glory to God. I love that. That just blessed me. Go read that. That'll bless him, man. He supplied water to his enemies. Now, most people would have said, let them suck a die thirst. But you see, Isaac was Jewish. He said, they plugged enough of my wells. I'm going to get back my investment. You see what I'm saying? So somebody plug your well up. Just dig another one. Well, they're going to plug up that one. Hey, just dig another one. One day you're going to hit a river. They can't plug up a river. Mm-mm. See, you might put a levee on a river, but to stop it, that's hard to do. Mm-mm. So what's the answer to faith not being defective? Is pray this prayer, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Just help me. Like a lady one time told me, she said, Brother Jesse, I'm going to cook you a gumbo. I said, don't do that. You're not Cajun. People want me to go eat seafood when I go over. So, are you living in a dream world? You think you're going to impress me with seafood in Idaho? Or Montana? You want to take me? Oh, but it's flown in. Yeah, it froze. It's fresh froze. We like fish that's doing this. He just cut his head off. Just fry that sucker. That's what we like. We're like a shrimp going, pop, 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 wham, just throw it. A crawfish with his hands up as he dies. Being boiled. Now that's fresh. Right? What do y'all cook around here? Oh, we steak people. Take me to a steakhouse. Now there you can help me on that. Because in my opinion, all over the world,
it don't get no better than New Orleans, Louisiana when it comes to seafood. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe that, I'm going to say it like the cat. You don't believe that? Well, pass yourself a good time. Come see. Come see our seafood. Shy. Write this down. Faith may be defective in its objects. You may be putting faith on something that should not be put on. What does that mean? Faith may be defective in its objects. Let me say this. Write this down. It may not embrace all the revealed truths of Christianity. There's so much revealed truth that people will not put their faith on. Or if they do, they put it on something academic. Faith may be defective in its objects. It may not embrace all the revealed truths of Christianity. There's such great truths of Christianity. Whew, my Lord. Think about that. The great truths of Christianity. By his stripes you were healed. And yet someone would say that healing's not for today. It's defective because you see, God will bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you going in, bless you going out. Can't embrace that. 30, 60, and 100. Woo! Can't embrace that. Even though that's a revealed truth. Watch this. Ask anything. Whoa, gee, now I'm getting too strong. Yeah. Watch it. Ask anything in my name. That's a revealed truth, not embraced. Faith is defective on that. Can't ask for that. You're being greedy. Wait a minute. He said, God said, anything. You said something. Someone lying. I pick you. Everybody say anything.
Anything.
My God, man. Do you see that? Faith may be defective in its object. It may not embrace all the revealed truths of Christianity. And when I embrace that, they say, oh, that's just wrong. No, it's truth. Watch this. Write this down. We may be just ignorant of some of them. There are some people just ignorant of some things. I knew a lot about God, but I did not know God. The Bible said, God says, I would not have you ignorant. He don't like stupid people. Let it sink for a minute. I ain't calling you stupid. Some other thing. Listen. He said, I would not have you ignorant. He don't like ignorance. But sometimes, because of a lack of teaching or a lack of manifestation, we become ignorant. Because someone else tried it and didn't work, and they made it a doctrine because it didn't work. Well, maybe they weren't supposed to do it. You know, Jesus said he's the author and finisher of our faith. Did he say that? Let me help some of y'all. God is under no responsibility to finish something he has not authored. You know how many building projects have been authored by man instead of by God? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Tell the whole congregation to give, 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 give. And then almost through the end of the building program, they have to lay off people. The ones that were giving. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. And say, you know, we are restructuring. Get off of it, man. You're broke. Watch. Having people give, say, God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Watch. Then you have to lay off people to finish the project. When I built this church, you know what was my first scripture I stood on? Marty, you know what it was? Count the cost before you build this tower. That's called good business. When I built my house, count the cost before you build this house. When I bought my car, count the cost before I buy this vehicle. Why? Because somebody's looking and somebody's watching. And will your word come to pass? Do you see that? So I took ask anything. Oh, Lord. Well, some people are just ignorant. But he said, I would not have you ignorant. So they'll get mad at me if I'm trying to get you out of ignorance. You're not dumb. No, you're not dumb. But you just don't know. Right? Let's write this down. We may have adopted erroneous notions concerning others. We may have adopted erroneous notions concerning others. I'm saying this way. Faith may be defective in its objects. One, it may not embrace all the revealed truths of Christianity. Two, it may just be ignorant of some of them. Three, We may have adopted erroneous notions concerning others. You can't use faith for that. Faith is not the only thing in the Bible, but faith is mixed up with everything in the Bible. See the suit? Look at it. You like it? You like his tie? It's a very expensive tie. It's made up of thread. It was just wool dyed, and they put it on a machine that created it, gave it to a store to sell it. I came in and bought it. You follow my point? You see, but you know what? I could take it apart if I start, because we call it a tie, but actually it's thread. Some master's hand, somebody put their hand on this thing and made it. It didn't evolve. Oh, y'all caught that. I thank you. You got it. Yeah. It didn't evolve. It didn't just happen. Oh, it blew up. Woo, Jesus. See, that's defective in its object. What's the answer to that? We must add to our faith knowledge. That is 2 Peter 1, verse 5. There's some people who have faith, have no knowledge. They got a lot of faith, but the spirit of stupid's come up on them. They have faith. They'll go to a graveyard, dig out a dead body. They forgot that it's against the law. God ain't going to have you breaking the law. They don't have any knowledge. Add to your faith knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. You get wisdom, you get understanding. See, so you can plug the leaks up. So let me go over that again. Faith may be defective in its objects. Number one, it may not embrace all the revealed truths of Christianity. It may be just ignorant of some of them. And we may have adopted erroneous notions concerning others. What's the answer, Brother Jesse? We must add to our faith knowledge. I'm constantly receiving knowledge from the Word. The day I think I know a verse completely, God reveals something that I didn't even see. I didn't get that knowledge by experience. Oh, I need to say that for a minute. Most people preach by experience. Your experience can be wrong even though it looks perfectly right. Evolution is experience. We saw something here. Now we know this works. And I just saw something. They said we're going to have to change all the science books, because every science book up until 2004 said that the universe was slowing down. Now we know without a shadow of a doubt that it's speeding up. What other lie they told us? That fried chicken was bad for us? Come on, Tommy, help me out here, baby. I'm trying to help you here. Fried pork chop, come on. Did somebody lie to us if we've been eating broccoli, getting gas for 20 years? What else they said was wrong? I had to get a little funny there. I couldn't help myself. Do you understand? Got to change it all. When Einstein came up with E equals MC squared, energy equals matter times the speed of light squared, everything changed in physics. He had faith, but he added knowledge to it. He was not an atheist. Study his life, I have. Number three, write this down. Faith may be defective in its application. Are y'all enjoying this?
Yes.
You're learning something?
Yes.
See, cracks will always produce leaks. Faith may be defective in its application. What does that mean? It may not exercise itself outwardly. Now, that's a mistake. A lot of Christians say, I have faith, but I ain't sticking my neck out. If it comes to pass, I'll say it's true. That's a defect. That's a crack that's going to cause a Niagara to come blowing through your house. It may not be expressed outwardly. You want a scripture for it? Book of Ezekiel is wonderful. God takes Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones. Boy, everybody preaching that moment. But I like the question that God asked Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, this is a major prophet. This ain't no minor prophet. This is not Micah, Nahum, Obadiah, and Jonah. That's the minor prophets. This is a major, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. I'm talking big. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel had to be Pentecostal. he covering his butt. He said, only you know, Lord. If that's not a Pentecostal, I don't know what it is. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God, but you might die, but we're going to give it the best shot we got. Because you know we live in a fallen world. And Oh, Jesus. Go read it. It's one of the funniest things. Only you know, Lord. Can he bone live? You see, his faith was not expressed outwardly. Let me say it again. Faith may be defective in its application. It may not exercise itself outwardly. Watch this. Write this down. It may not influence our practice. Is your faith influencing people? Or turning people off? Ooh, Jesus. Is your leak worse than your crack? You got more water coming out than water going in? It may not influence our practice. What's the answer, Brother Jesse? James chapter 2, verse 17. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. So faith may not be defective in its application. Why? Because faith without works is dead. That's why I say things that people get angry about. I tell you I live in a beautiful home. I don't hide it. I tell the whole world that I got a jet. I don't hide it. They get mad at me over a watch. Ooh, you ought to see my collection. You really get mad. Oh, that made him mad right there. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, he bragged. No, I ain't bragging. I don't have to rag. I got it. You understand? I'm like Muhammad Ali. It ain't bragging if you can do it. Right? Muhammad Ali said a great statement. They said, well, you just a bragger. He said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. Want to come in the ring with me? No. You're going to get whipped, son. That's why. I outwardly say these things, not so you can think I'm trying to, or you think I'm thinking, he just think he's something. You know, I've had people leave the church over my watch. A few years ago, some people said, I just can't stand it. He watch is just too nice. But I promise you, if I'd have gave it to them, they'd still be here. Is that the craziest thing you ever heard of in your life? Can't you be glad for somebody that has something? Why do you have to be jealous? Why do you have to be intimidated? Why can't you just say, I don't know, but I'm glad you know so I can learn. Let me say it again. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. So I'm not just trying to show off. I ain't got anything to do with that. It has to do that it works. So what's the answer? Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. See, faith may be defective in its application now, see. That's why I exercise my faith outwardly, and people call it arrogance. I say things that most preachers won't say. Here's one, the anointing increases on me. Brother, when that money come flying in my hands at that Cheesecake Factory, what's today? Friday? You should have seen people's jaw drop. I didn't know it, but I've never been in a Cheesecake Factory in my life. I ain't never been in New Albany, Ohio in my life. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know the pastor. I didn't know his wife. I didn't know nothing. I just simply walked in. And when I walked in, people went, my God, you just did a plan. I escaped me. One place, my God. I turned around, where is he? I said, God, don't come in the house here. Lord, come. What? And they just come up to me and they would shake my hand and $100 bill and honey's just boom, 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 boom. I mean, after a while, I got a whole lot. It's falling out of my hands. And all I did was pay the meal with it. I didn't keep it. I didn't say, here, Kathy, you can have it. Now, Pastor, you pay for my meal.
I said, why don't you invite your family, all your kids? I didn't know he was Catholic and didn't believe in birth control or something. Boy, he had enough kids come flying in. Gee, I mean, they start coming in. I mean, husbands, wives. Great. Great. I spent it. If you go to dinner with me, tell me if I'm telling the truth. You almost have to fight me for you to pay for it. Now that I go to dinner with people, they done got too smart. They show up early and give their card or money to the person that sat us or something. So when I get there, they go, take it. No, take care. Now, let me ask you this. Why do I pay for their meal? Because I believe they're good soil. And my wife likes to eat, and I want to make sure she can get anything she wants. Because a lot of times she told me, are you paying for this? Yeah. Because I'm going to get this here. Yeah. Now she won't do it if she thinks somebody else paying on, you know. But Kathy walk in there. How much is the caviar? $125 an ounce. Are you paying for this, Jesse? Are you buying this meal? Uh-huh. Okay. You know, she gets mad at him. She didn't order it. I tell you why she didn't order. She says, I ain't paying no $125 for an ounce. Listen, we were in the finest, one of the finest hotels in Maui, Hawaii, called the Grand Wailea. If you miss the rapture, go to the Grand Wailea. Try to get to Maui. You're going to enjoy yourself for a while. Now watch this. I'm talking this nice, you understand? You're talking money here. Major money. Okay? Got her in a suite, Ron. My Lord. No limits. Charge what you want. Do whatever you want. Kathy. A hamburger costs you $22. That's a lot of money for a hamburger. And I'm thinking, I could go to McDonald's and get this sucker for $3, man. But I didn't. I didn't say nothing. Well, watch Kathy. She says, I'm thirsty. I said, well, they got a refrigerator right there. One of them, refreshment center or something like that. She opened up there and it says, Cokes, $4.50. She slammed the door. Oh, you know what she made me do? And I can't even believe I did it. I'm in a suite. They all know who I am. They know I'm a man of substance. She said, I am not spending $4.50 on a Coke. I want you to go to the store and buy me a 6-pack of Coke. What did that look like walking into a fine hotel with a grocery sack? I am. You go down, you buy that Coke. Get this. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? Don't lie, baby, you're in church. What's that? Diet Coke. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Diet Coke. Like as if that makes it there. I had to walk in the green line. People going, what you doing? I want to say I work here, and they ran out. But Jesse, as I was walking, going up the elevator, people said, oh, but Jesse, you may not realize there's a refreshment center. I said, really? Just because she can afford it, she's like, I ain't paying no $4.50 for Coke. Now she pay $5,000 for a purse, but not a Coke. No, I'm just joking. I know what she's thinking. You're starting to leak. So you thought I was off the show. Christ will always produce leaks. So, let me go on to the next thing here. Write this down. Faith may be defective in its steadfastness. Let me say it again. Faith may be defective in its steadfastness. Our faith may be wavering, unstable, liable to fail. How many times it has? Why did it fail? Be ye steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know, not believe, for you know your labor is not in vain. And God. See, your faith was there, but it wasn't steadfast. It wasn't immovable. It wasn't abounding. Now, this has all got to happen. This immovable, abounding steadfast is when you can't see it, which is so hard against the natural flesh and the mind. See, It may be defective in steadfastness. Our faith may be wavering, unstable, liable to fail. Write this down. Faith is more than a spiritual life. It's eternal life. That's what gives you eternal life. That is the decree. Well, what's the answer, brother, to make it steadfast? Oh, I love this. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Our prayer must be, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Because you get enough in there, it's going to start holding up heavy things. It then becomes steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, when these guys said, Lord, increase our faith, you know what the problem they had? People were lying about them, saying ugly things that were not true. And people believe a lie quicker than they believe the truth. They say the first casualty in a war is the truth. I heard Peter Jennings say that years ago. I never forgot that. He said, Lord, you know why they asked him to increase the faith? Peter was about, he wanted to slap somebody. He was not hurt. He's a little offended. He didn't take the high road. He said, Jesus, and not only Peter, all of us, all 12 of them. How many times do I have to forgive somebody? Seven times. You know, because that's a God number, seven. They thought, this sucker say one more thing, this is the seventh time, then I can slap the fire at the sucker. I'm going to tie him up. I'm already counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus looks at him and goes, 70 times 7. Then he said, let me get my multiplication table out here. This is in one day. 490 times. What's the next thing? They went, Peter said, how many times? 490. Lord, increase our faith. Now you understand why I won't be offended? The person would have to offend me and hurt me 490 times. Now on a 491, make them an offer. But you're not going to reach that number. Not in a day. It may be defective in steadfastness. So what I do is I just add more faith to it. I say, let's just get the word of God out. Let's put it inside me. Now, this is a statement. You can write it down if you want. Empty vessels always sound the loudest. Empty vessels always sound the loudest. A small stream is a lot louder than a raging river. A stream going over the rock. You go out there, go to the Mississippi River, and I get on top of that levee. You better not jump off and try to swim to the other side. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. It's going to suck you under. Or it couldn't suck me under. If it turns a tanker, it'll suck your little fat body under. If it can turn a tanker, it certainly can turn you. Empty vessels always sound the loudest. So I just go on. I just keep believing. Why? I don't want any cracks, so I start leaking. I'll give you an idea. Look around here, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, look. Look at the souls that I'm responsible for this morning. Look. Don't look at me. Look at the people. Now, put me on worldwide, guys. Put me on here so I can talk to the world here through the internet, whatever, website. Everybody turn around. Look at that red light on that camera back there. Just look. Everybody turn around. Look. Y'all hard of hearing? Look. Look. Turn around. Look. The whole world looking at you. You see that red light? Everybody smile. Somebody in Hong Kong looking at you right now. I'm responsible for that. And you mean to tell me I'm going to take time out over something petty when one soul is worth more than the whole world? I don't want no defects. I don't want any cracks. I don't want leaks.
So sometimes if I do something and it didn't turn out the way I want, I was believing God, and maybe if a project or something didn't work the way I did, I said, well, I wasn't steadfast, immovable, abounding. I got to add some more faith to this, because this is a very heavy project that I'm going to have to put on this faith to stand. So I got to fill it, fill it, fill it, and fill it. And I give a prime example of what scientists say. When you have a supernova, that's an exploding star. Now, our sun that you see is not big enough to have a supernova. It eventually, according to them, become a white dwarf after it eats up Mars and Venus. Okay? That's what they say. Just tell you what they say. But then you get over to Betelgeuse. We got a star called Betelgeuse. Well, now I found a star. So our sun, if you look at it today, when you walk out, it's 1 million times bigger than our planet. That they know, they figured that out. They can do that. 1 million times. Now, the biggest star they just found out, it's 10 billion times bigger than our planet, which means it's 1 billion times bigger than our sun. Now, those are burning such hydrogen. They got so much of it that can turn into a supernova when things go wrong. Okay? Now, sometime when they explode, they produce what I call a neutron star. It blows all the outer layers of it off. Something called the most powerful substance in the universe known to man today is called gamma rays. If you get one of them, it's over. It's gone. The only way you could be protected would be really far under the ground. But you better have a lot of food underneath there, because it's going to kill everything on that surface. Maybe to the point of just literally knock off the Earth's mantle. Watch this. Turns into a neutron star. And when that happens, it compresses. Take the Empire State Building in New York and crush it all down into a grain of sand. Do you know how heavy that would be? That's what happens. If you took that neutron star, one teaspoon of it is 100 trillion pounds. If you dropped it, it would go completely through the planet Earth without even stopping it. That's how heavy. I said that to say this. If your faith is not stable enough to handle this, add to it. How do I add to it? You ain't going to like what I'm going to say. I got to give you the answer here. You know, he said increase our faith. How do you increase your faith? Lord, how does faith come? By what? By what? By what? By what? How do you hear? You got to go somewhere to hear. Why did you vote for Barack Obama first election? He said something that impressed you, right? You heard. Why do you vote for George Bush back then? Why'd you vote for Eisenhower? I don't know, whoever. You know, go back far. The furthest I can go back is President Eisenhower. I was a little boy. 5 years old. Truman, no. I saw Truman. He died when I was about 12, 13, something like that. I heard something. Now, let me give you this warning. Take heed what you hear. But see, you can get faith for the wrong thing. If it's scriptural, you receive it. And it'll make you steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in God. If it's strife, if it's other, it will create faith that will not be a good faith. If you don't know this lady, and if somebody would come to me and say, you see that lady there? Yeah. Watch her. That's all I got to say is this. Watch her. I've never seen her before in my life. There's a lady going to come. She's going to sit on the front. She's got an iPad. Watch her. The first thing you do when you see that person, you don't even know her. You don't know. You go. The gates go close. The shield comes up. Never gave her the opportunity to say, hello, what's your name? See, your faith produced something. Even though it's very small, it's very powerful. Faith creates all the strife in the world. Faith. But on the wrong side. Or the dark side of the force.
And when you have the God kind of faith, it will create light. It will never speak evil. It will not get offended. It will never leave you or forsake you. It's added with love, faith and love, my God. Love never faileth. Faith worketh by love. What it does, instead of blowing something up, it creates something. It seals all the cracks to the point that the crack does not exist anymore. It never was there. You know why? You know how God cannot remember what you did wrong? See, he said, your sin would never be remembered against you. How did he do that? How did he wash that out of his memory? Faith. It was so powerful that it destroyed your past. And if Satan go to say something against you when you stand at the door, he goes, says, he'll shut him down. And he will look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'll say this, and this is my last statement. I say it like the Apostle Paul said it. I have wronged no man. Can I handle that? Get some more faith. It'll build you up. And then one day, you will say, I have wronged no man. And yet he was known as the greatest persecutor of the Christian church, Saul of Tarsus. It's almost unbelievable to believe he was like that, was he? But this man, now I'm not where he's at, but I'm drawing up close. And it's taken me 34 years of preaching this. 34 years of fighting junk, trying to get into my life, trying to make me go back to where I used to be before I wasn't saved. You said something about me before I wasn't saved? I wouldn't say I don't like you. I'd hit you. I didn't care if I went to jail. I'm not big enough. I'll get somebody to do it for me. I was crazy. But you see, be ye steadfast and movable, abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain in God. Sealing up all my cracks. So I don't have any more leaks. Did you enjoy it this morning? Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that.